Welcome to the Healing Soul Podcast, Empowering Wellness and Oneness. I'm Mary Beth Brombach Nelson, a published author on Amazon Books, Reiki Master, and Gifted Intuitive. Today on the Healing Soul, I have a special guest, Michelle Scharf. Welcome to the Healing Soul, Michelle. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am Michelle Scharf. I am a mom and a grandma. I was a wife to my husband for 32 years, and I have unfortunately had to walk the path of grief and recovery, and it's a lifelong process, so I would say I'm still in it, but I've learned how to move forward.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
So, when you were going through the cancer and the process with him, what motivated you to function on a daily basis? How did you get through it?
Yeah, well, I would say I didn't have a choice, right? Like the diagnosis came, it was pretty shaking to us. It was not what we expected at all. And maybe I should give some context to the story so your listeners can understand. But we'd been married 29 years and we were getting ready to plan our 30th wedding anniversary. And we had just spent the summer building this beautiful deck that we could entertain our adult children on. We had a couple kids still living with us, but they were getting ready to fly out on their own. And at the end of that summer, in September, we had planned this next year event for our wedding in June to be in Hawaii. And we were going to do a three
Okay.
island hop. Like we had not ever taken really any vacations like that with just one
So this was
another.
a big deal, right?
So it was
30
a big
years.
deal.
Yeah, it's a huge
Yeah. 30
milestone.
years, it was a big deal. And my husband had talked to me during building that deck. He kept saying, I just want to make good memories with our kids. I want to be able to take the kids on some vacations and do more vacationing with you. I recognize I spent too much time working, you know? And we'd had that conversation, like I said, building that deck. So September comes, it's Labor Day weekend, and he is not doing well. And in fact, he had not been doing well for a while. He was sleeping a lot, he was tired. He was on testosterone therapy, and he just kept thinking, maybe I need more. He's like, maybe my body's just accustomed to this. Maybe I need to up the dose. So he was going to regular doctor appointments, the whole thing. And, he woke up the Sunday of Labor Day weekend and said, Michelle, he took a shower and came out of the shower and said, Michelle, I need you to get dressed. I need you to take me to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is a man who had been sick 5 days of 30 years of work. It didn't even matter if he was sick, he would go. He wasn't somebody that being uncomfortable or being a little bit sick was an excuse to not be at
So
work.
he was tough. He just kept going.
He was just one of those superpower guys, you know, he was just gonna muscle through it. So when he told me he was sick, my inner voice said, oh shit, we're in trouble. That was my first inner voice, intuitive,
Like a knowingness.
unknowingness. I got dressed. I took him to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and it's Labor Day weekend. They can't do an MRI. There's, you know, he's having severe pain in his legs and his lower back. And they asked for a urine sample, and I went with him to the bathroom. And we're not a private family. Like we walk around, dressed, you know, whatever. We go to the bathroom with each other. Like there was no anything like that. But I had been working a lot. I was a lobbyist at the time. I was traveling a lot. Our schedules were different, and I really hadn't noticed. But when I walked in with him to help him go to the bathroom because he needed support, he physically couldn't hardly
Wow, he
handle
was
himself.
that ill.
He was so ill. He couldn't pee. He was really struggling urinating. And I just knew from my background, I have a background in medicine, medical health, that that's not a good sign.
No, that's not.
And I said, How long has this been going on? And he's like, well, it's kind of embarrassing to talk about. It's been happening for a while. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I didn't like that either, you know.
Right.
And I got him back into bed, and they're like, look, we're going to send you home. We have an appointment for you for next Friday for the MRI.
Okay.
So they sent us home, and they gave him a ton of drugs, like heavy, like oxy, to
Oh,
like help with
wow.
his pain
The pain.
management. Yeah.
Okay.
It was either oxy or morphine. It was something big. We
Right.
were not drug takers at all. So.
Well, no, but that was, I used to work for a doctor. I managed a doctor, and oxy was prescribed all the time.
I know
Yeah.
they prescribe it like
Like
it's candy.
nothing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but he was taking it because he was in so much pain and it wasn't even really helping that much.
Okay.
So, Monday comes, he kind of is sleeping through it. Tuesday comes and he gets up and goes to work. And on his way to work, they call him in and said, we had a cancellation. We can fit you in right now. So
Okay.
he went straight away and went and did it, called me afterwards and said, hey, they got me in this morning. And I'm like, wow, really? Oh,
Yeah,
that's, you
that's
know?
good. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went through the week. We hadn't heard anything. You know, we have the app where you get your download of medical
Right.
notes and doctor questions or whatever. You can
Right.
communicate with your doctors. And that Friday night, we had gone to say goodbye to a lady who was like a mother to both of us.
Okay.
And we didn't say anything to anyone. She knew. She said, John, what's going on with you? And we were just
Okay.
like, and he's like, I'm fine. It's good. I've just been a little tired. Everything's
Right.
fine. And when I got home, I just thought, she's on her way out. She immediately knew. I mean, we walked in the door, she called them out on it. And I just know from my history of energy work and the things that I've seen and birth and death,
You could sense it.
people walking on the veil
Yeah.
between life and death have a clarity that most of us just don't have in our regular life.
Right. It's that knowingness about things, just sensing it. And it's almost like a telepathic knowingness with other people, even if they don't say anything. That's how
Yeah.
she knew right away. What was your husband's name?
John.
John. Okay.
So John and I went home and we went to bed and I pulled up the app and even though it wasn't supposed to be released for us to view, I read the entire MRI report
Oh, wow.
and it said metastatic cancer of unknown origin.
Wow.
And I was like, well, this has to be a mistake.
Right, because you
He
can't
doesn't
accept
have
that.
cancer.
Right.
Metastatic cancer, like that means cancer that's already moved and it's bad. Metastatic,
Right.
any kind of cancer is bad news. And I'm
Right.
like, well, he doesn't have cancer. That's stupid.
Right.
So I kept it to myself, but by Sunday, I was a mess. My kids all came over for a barbecue. And I kept going to my room and crying. And one of my kids came into the room and said, what is going on? And I said, I'm going to share something with you, but it's big and it's heavy.
Right.
And you need to keep it to yourself. I said, your dad has not been well. We went to the doctor. I've already read the report. I think it's wrong. I do
Right.
think the report is wrong. Because what I'm reading is that it says metastatic cancer, which means he has cancer that's moved to somewhere, and that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm sure they crossed the test up or
Right.
whatever.
Right.
So the next morning, I called my boss and said, I can't come in today. I have got to get a hold of my doctor. And I fought to get a hold of the doctor, and he finally said, come in after hours. And when he said, come in after
Wow, that
hours,
was, yeah, you knew then.
I
Yeah.
knew. So we had an appointment scheduled with my son. Our youngest son was having a lot of issues, and we were in therapy. So we had that appointment. But before we had that appointment, we had to stop at this other appointment. And I didn't want my husband to be completely sight blinded
Well,
because,
right. That's a lot to take in.
right. And I said to him, John, I don't really know how to tell you, and I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but I am really scared and I'm concerned because the MRI is saying that you've had cancer somewhere in your body and it's moved and it's now somewhere else. And I said, I'm hoping that they've got the wrong test. I don't know why they're calling us in tonight. Maybe it's because there was a mix-up and they could see that I read the report. I said, I'm not sure.
What was
So
his response to that? I mean, did he already know that he was?
he's like, no, I'm sure you're right. It's got to be this test. That's absolutely wrong. So we went in and the doctor said, I'm sorry, but it appears that we believe that you might have prostate cancer and that it's moved and it's in your bones. But there's a lot of other tests that we need to do. We're not sure. And we need to make sure that we understand the origin before we can have a treatment plan.
How
So
old
anyway,
was your husband?
he had to been, let's see, he had to be about 52, I
So
believe, at the
that is
time.
surprise because usually men are older when they get that.
Yeah. My dad actually was diagnosed with it. My dad's still alive. My dad's 78, I think now.
Yeah, my father-in-law, that's what he passed from, and he was in his middle 70s.
Yeah, my dad had treatment and doesn't have it anymore.
Oh wow, well that's good.
Yeah. So anyway, we did all the tests. I'll spare everyone the horrificness of all of the things that we went through. We decided that we needed a second opinion because we were starting to have a little bit of concern about the care and treatment we were receiving. We just wanted a second opinion, and we decided that Huntsman's is right here. It's a world premier cancer center. It's kind of silly that we wouldn't go to Huntsman, right?
Makes sense.
So we inquired with our insurance company, got permission to go up there, had a second opinion, sat down with Dr. Agarwal, who's up there, who specializes in prostate cancer. And he basically sat us down and said, I'm sorry, this is the situation. And then he sat on a board and explained the progress of this disease, what has happened inside my husband's body. And then my husband said, what's the plan? What's the treatment? What's the plan here? And he said, I need to excuse myself for a minute. And he got up and walked away. And he came back within probably a minute. So obviously he didn't have to leave anywhere. I think he was just composing himself.
I think so too.
And he came in and he sat down and he looked at my husband straight in the face and he said, you have 6 months to live. And my husband turned to me and he said, I should have taken all of those vacations with you and the kids.
Aw, that's tragic.
And I sat there in disbelief. Because I wanted it to all be such a big mistake. I couldn't believe this was happening to my husband. If you had known us, my husband, I have had the ambulance called out for him when he almost killed himself from carbon monoxide on a job site and he wouldn't go in. And I'm like, look, dude, something's wrong with you. And he ended up in a bariatric chamber. And he would tell our kids all the time. One time he sawed off his thumb. Like halfway saw, like literally halfway saw it off. Didn't go to the doctor, wrapped it in electrical
Oh my
tape for a
gosh.
week, took it off, and it was healed. It was completely healed in a week of electrical tape. So my husband would say, I have supernatural healing abilities and I am invincible. And he would tell my, I'm invincible. That's my superpower. I'm invincible. And which is pretty typical of a 20-year-old guy. They think they are, but this is a 50-year-old man that really believed it on some level, you
That's
know?
funny.
So we just couldn't really believe this was happening to us.
Well, it's a shock. I mean, your whole world changed in the course of a few days.
Yeah. So fortunately, my husband decided 20 years earlier to pick up the hobby of racing. And he cashed out our life insurance policies.
Okay.
And I told him, I am the mother of, at the time, three kids. I said, you cannot do this hobby unless you replace that policy with a term life and you never, ever cancel it.
Okay.
And boy, you better believe I made sure that thing was paid every single year. Well, the year he got diagnosed, it was set to cancel in October.
Oh my gosh.
And because we had that second opinion, the doctor wrote a letter saying you have 6 months to live. We sent it to the insurance company and they issued the policy. They issued us 50% up in front, and we didn't have to pay any more policy
Oh, that
payments.
was a little miracle.
It was a huge miracle because the following month, the set premium would have been $8,500 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. So blessings and miracles all the way around it in this tragic tale.
Right.
I am very well aware because I have been on a million support groups, a million sites, a million widow groups, and
Right.
that's not always the case.
Right. That's what I
Some
was
people.
just going to ask you. From all the, your experiences through this personal tragedy, what are some tips for somebody listening that's going through something very similar to what you experienced to help them? Would you suggest they join a support group now, or what did you do?
I would say it depends. The Huntsman has an amazing amount of support groups available, and I went one time.
Okay.
I went at the prodding of my current boss at the time because he was seeing my meltdowns, and he's like, "You need to go." So I went up there one day, and when I walked into the support group for the prostate cancer, there was all these 80 and 75
Right, older, yeah.
older women in there crying and boo-hooing about the loss of their husbands, which I'm not saying isn't tragic. It is on
Right.
a whole nother level. But for
Right.
me, I was like, are you serious? I am
Right.
49 years old. My
Right.
husband 52, or actually at the time I was 47. I'm 47 years old. My husband is 52, and my kids are just about ready. I'm about to be an empty nester. Are
Right.
you kidding me? Like,
Right.
I'm not sitting in here and listening and trying to gain wisdom
You
and
couldn't
support.
relate.
No.
So join a group that you can relate to of people
Yeah.
with similar ages, similar experiences.
Yeah. So then I found online a care group that you had to sign in. You had to prove that you're in the situation you are in, which I appreciate because you don't want trolls and scammers
Right.
involved. But I met a lady there. Ironically, her name was Joy, and she was older than me. She didn't have kids that were a concern. It was her second marriage. It was still a very different situation, but
Right.
we were at least in the same age group, and
Right.
in that way I could relate to her. So she was helpful. We checked in on each other for years, and that is kind of gone away now. But yeah, I did reach out. I think that looking for connection, that is a step of resiliency,
Okay.
right?
Yeah, connection is so important. When you're depressed and you connect to another person, just sharing your story and getting it out of you sometimes helps just by working it through in your
Right.
thoughts and sharing it
Right.
with
And
another
I'm a
person.
verbal processor.
I am too.
And my husband said to me early on, I am dealing with so much. I cannot deal with your grief too. I can't share this with you.
Right.
And he wasn't saying, I mean, we were sharing a lot together anyway, right? The loss of our intimacy, the loss of our marriage relationship, the change into a caregiver relationship. But what he was saying is, I can't bear the load of your grief too. It's too painful. And I
Right.
couldn't really appreciate that fully, honestly, until after he died. And
Right.
I was able to feel all my grief. And then I could see the grief of my children.
Right.
And that was unbearable to me.
I'm sure it was overwhelming.
It was overwhelming, the grief of my children, and especially my little grandson, who was so close to his papa. And that just about did me in. So I had a little bit, a tinge, I would say, of resentment for my husband that he was like shutting me down, that he was no
Right.
longer my safe space for my emotions and feelings, that he couldn't
Right.
hold that for me. And
Right.
at the same time, I was like, oh, wow, I kind of get it now, right? It just took
Right.
some time for me to learn
Your
it.
perspective changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
So what?
I guess what I'm sharing is that I have since understood and forgiven that.
Well, that's good. And I mean, it's a process. Everybody handles it different too. So if someone listening is angry and mad, that's totally normal to feel the different phases of grief, even if the person is still here, because
Yeah.
you're trying to create a space in reality that this is actually happening. Because I think in the beginning, when you find out someone's gonna pass and they may only live 6 months, you can't in the beginning accept that as fact, just like you expressed.
Yeah.
It's just the
Yeah.
different
The other
processes you
thing that
go
was
through.
surprising to me in this process was I thought I was grieving my husband during the process of him dying,
Right.
which took 22 months. So we found out he didn't die in 6 months. He
Right.
decided to opt for some treatment. Then he decided to not do the treatment because the quality of life was bad.
Okay.
And then it took a total of 22 months before he was gone. So, I thought I was really grieving my husband during that process.
Right.
And a part of me thought, I just need him to go because I need to move on. Like,
Right.
I'm seeing that time is so short and I don't know how much I get either. And I'm ready for
Right.
him to move on so that I can move forward. And
Right.
then he dies. And he was at home when he died. We had taken a nap, and I went out to feed his chickens and clean up the house because it was the first time in hours, in many days, that I had slept 3 hours in a row.
Right.
And when I came back from feeding the chickens, I came back to bed and I got nose to nose with him, and he had been gurgling the death gurgle for 10 days.
Right.
And I was really struggling. My daughter was staying with us, and we both wear earplugs, and it was just too much. But hospice had been telling us from the day that that started that he was going to go any day. It'll probably be tonight. It'll probably
So
be
he
tonight.
had a very strong will, even at the end, it sounds.
Yeah, even though he really wanted to go.
Right.
Yeah, he really wanted to be released from his body, but my husband loved me so much, he just didn't want to leave.
Right. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, he just didn't want to leave. In fact, Kane Brown's song, Heaven, came out that year.
Oh.
And while I was laying in bed with my husband, I heard it for the first time. And oh, that song gets my
Yeah,
heart every time.
that is a good song.
So anyway, yeah, that process, I got nose to nose with him, and I said, hey, your chickens were being really funny out there. So
Right.
I went to throw them all the food, and they started to go for the food. And then all of a sudden, they all swarmed up and they went to this other area. And then they all
Yeah.
turned and looked at me. I'm like, it was so freaky.
Wow.
And then I realized, I don't hear you. You're not breathing like
Oh.
you were. And then I checked his pulses, checked his neck, checked his arm, checked his legs,
Right.
put my hand on his chest, on his heart, put my hand underneath his nose, looked at the clock. It was 8:17 p.m. in the evening.
Oh, wow.
And I jumped down to the end of the bed and I go, nobody's told me what to do.
Oh,
Do I
yeah.
call the time of death? Does the doctor have to come over? Is it
Right.
hospice? Do I call hospice now? Do I just call the mortuary? Like, I just didn't know what to do.
So did
And
you
then,
call hospice or what did you do?
well, the reality hit me that he was dead
Right.
and he was on his side. And I got up on my knees next to his chest over his body. And I raised my hands in the air and I started screaming, "Oh my God, baby, you made it. Oh my God, baby, you crossed the finish line. You did it. You did it. You made it. You're home." And
Right.
I was screaming joy and also ripped apart in sorrow.
Right.
And it's so strange that we can actually have those emotions in this, in the
I get
very
it.
same moment.
Right.
In the very same moment. And so then I called to somebody who had lived in our house at the time, and I said, "He's gone, he's gone." And I started calling my kids, and then I realized I needed to call hospice.
Right.
And they came over and helped me get him dressed to be taken to the mortuary. I called the mortuary after all, I gathered around friends and family. We came in, we
Right.
had family prayer. His 4-year-old grandson climbed up on the bed. We'd been watching Coco with him, and he sang so perfectly, "Remember Me."
Oh my gosh.
We all just bawled, and
Oh,
it was
I
this
bet.
sacred, beautiful, heartfelt moment that
Aw,
I will hold in my heart
that's just
forever.
so precious.
Haven't thought about that in a while.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good. It's good to revisit things. And then, eventually the mortuary came and got him. He was cremated, and we had a celebration of life about a month after he died, 3 weeks after he died.
Right.
So, that's kind of the perspective of the story. So yeah, it's a little bit different than a sudden death, whereas
Right.
a sudden death, you have so many decisions to be made immediately. And what
Right.
happened for us is we were told 6 months. So that suddenness was thrust upon us in this way. We had to ready our finances. We had to
Right.
make sure things were in order. My husband didn't have the capacity for that, so he left that up to me.
Right.
He was dealing with doctor appointments, treatment, and just working and just trying to manage his emotions of this reality. We were
Right.
having family dinners every weekend to try to spend whatever time we could with our children. And we were just trying to figure it out the best way we could. And then we were granted some time. And so a friend insisted on a fundraiser. They raised some money and they were able to send my whole family on a cruise, which was a wish that John
That's
had.
beautiful. That's beautiful that your friends did that for you and your
Yeah.
family.
And that was very touching. And unfortunately, we almost got kicked off the cruise because he couldn't make it to the mustard. You have to attend the mustard thing
Oh, okay.
where they tell you about your life jackets and where you're supposed to go and whatever. But I was able to get him in a wheelchair and get him out there, get it crossed off the list, and get him back into the room. By this time, I was already giving him IV fluid. So we had packed IV fluid and
Okay.
I had set up a little hospital room in our
Cabin.
cabin.
Okay.
I was giving him IV fluids and whatnot. So he wasn't really able to participate in a very healthy way on the cruise, but my kids did all get to come in and spend some time just one-on-one with their dad. He
And
was
that's
able to
good.
make it out to a beach the one day, things like that. So, the things that I would tell someone who's facing, in particular, a cancer that is like,
Right.
whether it's 6 months or they're like, you may have 1 to 5 years.
Right.
First of all, I'm going to tell you, doctors don't know. They're making their best guess.
Right. They're just human beings like we are.
Yeah. So a doctor saying you have 3 to 5 years could be wrong and it could be 2 months. A
Right.
doctor saying 6 months, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 years. So they don't really know. They're doing their best.
It's an
So
educated guess.
it is, right?
Yes.
But you may not fall in
Right.
that this is kind of what we've seen thing, right?
Right.
It's important to understand that. And then I would say the first thing to do is to ready your finances, because in the event of a loss like this, you can lose a lot of money if depending on the state that you live in and your circumstance, you are
Right.
not made sure that deeds are in order, a will, a trust,
Right.
whatever. Most people think they don't need a trust, and I would
Right.
say you need a financial advisor.
Okay, so you would say get a trust.
Well, I would say depending
Go
on
to a financial advisor. Yeah,
the state you live on and the
right.
circumstances of your finances, you at least need to find a financial advisor. A
Right, that's good
financial advisor
advice.
should not be a person that sells any kind of insurance products or a product where they make a commission. They're not a
Okay.
financial advisor. That
Okay.
is an insurance salesman. You
Right.
need a financial advisor, somebody who can advise you on state laws and the situation. I looked and looked and looked. I found several insurance salesmen that are call themselves financial
Right,
advisors.
right.
and I was luckily enough, our neighbors had a really great financial advisor, and he's still my advisor to this day. And he has not only given me great financial advice, but personal advice in this journey as well. So, I would say that that's the first thing you need to do. You need to immediately contact a financial advisor because the
Okay.
stakes are high. And I have
Right.
found enough widow groups to know how much people have lost,
Right.
and it could have been so much different. So,
Right.
number one. And I would say if you are in a relationship, you are young, healthy, married, every time your situation changes, you need to seek the advice of a financial advisor. When you
Right.
get married, you should have your estate planned and set up. When you have a
Right.
child, you need to revisit it. When you buy a house, you need to revisit it again.
All
That
those
is,
big decisions in your life that you
and
make and the different
people,
changes. Yeah.
nobody wants to face this. This is the biggest, most important piece of advice I can give anyone, because when you get into the widow world and you get
Right.
on these sites, you will hear such tragic stories that have made the actual loss 100 times worse, right? It like
Right.
compounds the grief. So that's my biggest piece of advice. My second piece of advice is if it's cancer or if your person is suffering from a chronic illness or something that is plaguing them,
Right.
and this is going to be a drawn out process, you need to find a support group outside of that person. They
Okay.
cannot carry your emotions. They're dealing with their own,
Right.
and you need support. You need support, especially if you're going to be in a caregiver role.
Right. So would you say like a personal therapist and a support group? Because therapists can also help you through the grief
Yes.
process too.
And that's a tricky one, because I will say I was already in therapy, and then I got a personal therapist right after.
Right.
So we were doing some family therapy before. I got a personal therapist, and
Well,
I
that's
kept that
good.
therapist throughout the grief process. In fact, maybe just a year or two ago, I let her go.
Okay.
And I did other things as well. I found support from community of people that were in a similar situation or the same situation
Okay, so that helped you too.
during the process. After my husband was gone, not only did I have my therapy, but I also hired a life coach.
Okay.
And I found that to be so powerful because I was ready to start moving forward. And I
Okay.
needed to figure out, like, what do I do?
Yeah, what does that look like to move
Right.
forward?
And I will say, when a woman or a man loses their spouse, you lose everything, right? We all have a 100-year mindset. We're going to live 100 years, and we're going to die
Right.
in each other's hands, or we're going to die on vacation coming back from our world-class vacation when our plane goes down and we die together. Like, whatever the pretend scenario,
Scenario, yeah, right.
which those scenarios are real for me and my husband. We
Right.
talked about those things.
Okay.
And so you have this forward, big, kind of idealistic view of your life, right?
Right.
When that is cut off, you've lost your forward momentum. You've lost, like, this is the trajectory where I'm heading, right? And we all know life has ebbs and flows, and we might have taken different paths along the way, but ideally, we were going to get there together. And when that is taken from you, everything is taken from you. You don't know who you are anymore. I was no longer John Scharf's wife. And our friends and our married couple friends quit inviting me to dinners. You don't have the same support system that you want ha once had. Some of my good girlfriends that were so close to my husband, who were having a hard time with their own feelings, couldn't handle my grief. For them to see my grief made it all so much more real.
So it's almost like you had to have a whole new friend group.
Well, some of those relationships over time have repaired as I healed
Your grief.
my grief. Some of those have been able to come back. Some of them I had to just let go of. I through my own process, at the time my husband and I were religious, although we were questioning the religion and whatnot. So a lot of my support group and friends group were in that religious circle, and when I left it, they didn't follow, and they didn't want to stay in touch, you know. So they migrated away. And so there's not just the loss of the spouse or the child or the sibling or the parent or whatever. There's all these accessory losses that no one really talks about. In my case, I had adult children. And so I was 49 when he died. And within 6 months, I sent my youngest to a rehab facility and became an empty nester. At 49, send my kid off to a re rehab
So that's a
center.
lot to deal with.
And 3 months later, I turned 50. Midlife, right? Big 5-0. That's a hard birthday for anyone. I'm
It
alone. I don't have my family. My son, I've had to make this hard choice in the middle of his own grief, although that was a long time in the making because we had been struggling with him for a lot of years. So, and then your adult children don't grieve the way you grieve. Adult children don't actually start grieving from anywhere from a year to a year and a half, 2 years after that person is gone. It takes them a little longer. It's not that they're not sad. It's not that there's not grief. It's just that they don't really process the way an adult processes.
Well, just to not to interrupt you, but this is really putting it in perspective for me. My dad died when he was 55. And I was 14, and I did not realize what my mother went through. And just listening to your story, they used to play cards and have people over. I never really realized that she went through a lot of what you're, and I was a 14-year-old kid, so I was being a kid and wasn't really there for her, and everybody else was already out of the house.
And you actually don't want your kids to be there because you're so aware that they have their own grief. You can see it on them as a mother. And for me, I'm very empathic and very intuitive. I'm a medium myself. I can feel it. So when all my kids come together, I am like, this is a lot.
Overload.
It's a lot. And I really do my best to manage, like, this isn't my feelings. This is a collective feeling. And it's a lot, but he was loved, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we have so much love for him, you know? So, you don't necessarily want your kids to have to be there for you, but I'll tell you what was disabling for me. No matter how many books I read on the subject, I did not know how to be there for them. And eventually I had to just let it go and realize this is our life path. I lost my husband, and for them, they've lost their father when they were young. Something that I never would have saw coming, something that I never would have wished for them. I have a daughter who's been estranged from the family, and she just will not talk about what it is, that
Aw,
thing that's keeping her.
I'm sorry.
And so that's been another loss, and it's caused a lot of pain for all of my kids in different ways.
Right.
But again, everybody is doing their grieving their way, right?
Exactly. Everybody, there's no wrong way to
There's no
grieve.
wrong way.
That's why if someone tells you, even if it's been 5 years and you're still emotionally, you have days where you can't, there is no timeline for grief. And
No.
everyone handles it in different ways. And there's really no wrong way.
Yeah, I during my grief process, it's so funny the things that people will tell you or the things people feel comfortable saying to you. And a lot of them just aren't true. Like sometimes people will say something like, "Oh, well, they wouldn't want you to be sad." Or they would want you to do X, Y, and Z. And the
Right.
problem is, well, they're not here to have that
Right.
conversation with.
Right.
And how do you know?
It's almost
I don't know.
condescending. They
It
mean
is.
well, but it is condescending.
It is, right? And
Right.
also, so as a person that has gone through this, I've had to learn to be very forgiving. And understand that most people's places are in the right place. They mean well,
Well,
but
right.
what they say is hurtful.
Very much so,
And
yeah.
I have to choose to not take it as hurtful, which isn't
Right.
always easy.
It isn't easy, but you got to just think they're trying to make you feel better, even though it did the exact opposite.
Right. People would say to me, it's time to move forward
How
because.
dare they? No one can determine that but you. And anyone listening right now, if someone has told you that it's time to move forward, you move forward when you are ready and you feel your feelings, you cry, you go to therapy, you go to your support groups, but only you know when it's time to move forward.
Right. Yeah. So I actually had a friend say to that, and I was very public about this because I'd been involved in politics. A lot of people were curious. I didn't want people having a narrative about it or saying things. So I was very public. I shared the entire grief process, the cancer journey on
Right.
Facebook.
Okay.
So,
That's
and
very empowering, actually, because you helped other people that were going through it.
That was the positive part. And the opposite side of that are the people that said, you're sharing too much. You're sharing personal things you shouldn't be sharing, right?
Well,
Or,
that's a judgment.
right. Well, and all of these things are judgment. Telling someone
Right.
to move forward, that's a
That's a
judgment,
judgment. That is a judgment. Right.
right? It's
Right.
like you're judging this based on what? Have you ever even gone through it? And if you did go
Exactly.
through it, have you actually felt it? Have you actually felt your grief? Because it's
Right.
different for everybody.
And
And
every experience is different that you go
right.
through too.
So for instance, I had a girlfriend, and for your listeners, I have a podcast called Relentlessly Resilient, where people come on and share their trauma stories and then the things that they help them to move forward. And her n name's Annette Thrive, and she had a husband that committed suicide.
Oh,
And
that's
very,
tragic. Yeah.
it was tragic. It was very sudden. There was a lot of other details with it, but what I want to share is I called her up and I said, I don't know how to do this. Tell me how to get through it. And
Right.
she said, my situation is not your situation. I cannot help you. My marriage was not your marriage.
Right.
And so that's the thing. It's like my marriage wasn't nirvana.
Right.
We were passionate, throw down the mat fighters.
Right.
We were very honest. We were brutally honest with one another. We were hard on one another. Like it was not an easy marriage, but it was
Right.
ours and we did love each other and we were fighting for our marriage, right? Very
Right.
different. So many people won't fight for anything anymore.
Right.
And so, when people say it's time for you to move forward, well, maybe that would be your case because maybe you didn't love your person.
Right,
But
right.
maybe even if you think that my marriage wasn't grand or it wasn't what you would want, I was in it for the long haul. I wanted it. So this isn't easy for me to move forward. I'm doing my very best every day. And so grief will tell you, like, I'll hold you backward. I will pull you back into every memory, until every moment, until every what if has been spoken, and until you can hardly breathe. And that process is different for every single person.
I agree with that totally. And no one can tell you the right way to grieve or how long is the proper time to grieve. Is that's all bullshit. Nobody walks your soul's path the same way you do.
We all
So
have different experiences. We all,
are on our soul's journey on the different things and the different heartaches. And every person has a tragedy or heartache in their life, in their soul's path, but it's different for everyone. And the healing process is different. And during the holidays, do you have any special way for your kids and grandkids that you remember your husband?
So I've let my kids and grandkids kind of dictate that. I have to say, so early on when I started out, I was sensitive to it, but I didn't necessarily want to plan it. I didn't want to have the expectation that, okay, I'm going to honor your
That
dad.
this is the focus.
Because we'd watched Coco, my grandson asked me to have an altar in my house, for the Day of the Dead. And so for the first few years, I did that, and I have some remnants of that altar in my living room now. One year, my grandson asked if we could celebrate his birthday. And so he asked me to make his Papa John's favorite cakes and pies, and which I have a gluten allergy. I can't eat them, but I actually figured out how to make them all gluten-free this year, the year that we did this. It was about 4 years ago. And I invited all my husband's friends and family, and whoever wanted to come was invited. And we had a big showing, more than I thought. People came, they reminisced, they ate pie. It was really touching. And it was so touching that it was at my grandson's urging, you know. This year I had an interesting experience. I've fallen in love with a man. I'm in a relationship.
Congratulations.
My husband actually knew him. And he's recently moved into my house. And in that process, I was having to go through my safe. And I wanted, I have guns, he has guns. I wanted him to be able to use the safe and all have these things in one place. And also, space is limited. But I had some of my husband's personal things in that safe, one of which was his wallet. And I had never gone through it. So I pulled out all the cards and his ID, and I asked my son, my youngest son, hey, do you want your dad's wallet? And he's like, I have a wallet. And I said, that's not really the point. Do you want your dad's wallet? Or he took the wallet, and I took all of those cards and stuff and threw them in this basket over here. You're not going to see this if you're watching, but I have a big basket next to my desk. And 2 weeks ago, I went through and went through them all. There were two, no, three Walmart gift cards with different amounts on them. I called to see what they, if there was anything on them. And there was a Target gift card. And I thought, yeah, I could probably just do my shopping there. But it really weighed on me. And I didn't talk to my partner about it. I didn't tell my kids about it. I just sat with it, and I'm like, why would I find these cards? And like, I've been through his wallet before in 6 years. I have been through his wallet to see if there was anything I needed to see in there. But for some reason, I never thought of there being anything of value on these cards. And so when I called, There is $100 on Walmart, $100 at Target.
Do they still let you use it after that amount of time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They had to get a manager and type it
Okay.
in. It would no longer scan. They've changed the format of their gift
Oh,
card.
okay.
But they were able to get it. And I called and made sure that, there was any total on them before I even went in. And I thought, how interesting, $200. $200. Three
Right.
different gift cards, they total 100. One card that has a full 100. Like, what was he doing with these gift cards?
Right.
Walmart, maybe he bought some stuff for work and returned stuff and they gave him store credit. But I don't know why he had them.
Okay. Interesting.
And so I thought about it. I have four grandkids. That's $50 a piece.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So I talked to my daughter and my daughter-in-law, who have three of my grandkids, and I told them, I just feel like this is a gift from your Papa John. My granddaughter never knew her papa. She came a year after his death. She's born on his mother's birthday.
Oh, wow.
And she's half Hawaiian, and my husband had a real connection to Hawaii before he died.
Okay.
It was really
Wow.
strong. And to turtles, and her nickname is Honu, which is
That's
turtle in
giving me
Hawaiian.
chills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've thought about it for a long time, and I just thought this is what I want to do. Now, with a strange daughter, I'm going to go ahead and send her the card for her daughter. And I
Right.
will write a brief note explaining why this is. What she does with it is irrelevant to me.
Right.
But help me think of this thing to do. I could have not given it much thought and just thought, I'll just go shopping and spend the money. That's a
Right.
nice $200 bonus, right?
Right.
Money I didn't have before. But I just thought, if he was here, what would he spend it on? And it's Christmas. So I took the kids out last night, and I'm taking my grandson, actually, as soon as we're done with this.
Okay, nice.
I'm taking my oldest grandson. He wasn't feeling well last night, and he just wasn't not in the space to pick out something. But my other two grandkids got their stuff. I'm going to take my other grandson tonight, and I'll send off that card to my daughter for her
Nice.
daughter. And I think the thing about grief that I've learned the best, and the one thing that I can share with your viewers or listeners, grief happens on its own time, in its own way. You can choose to fall victim to it or to allow it to empower you and move your life forward. And those,
Eloquently said.
yeah, and it's a choice we make. It
Exactly.
is a choice.
Right.
I have a sister whose husband this year will be gone 20 years and has never dated, has no
Right.
interest, and will never be with another
See,
man.
my mom never dated ever again, and she was only in her 50s. She could have had a whole nother relationship.
Yep.
And she just never moved past the loss of my dad.
Right. And, again, perspective, right? I don't think it's my sister not necessarily not moving past it, but she does feel like I met the man of my dreams. I met the man I loved, and he's gone, and therefore I'm satisfied. I had that relationship
Right.
that
And that's what
everyone
my
wants.
mom felt, that no one would ever compare. My dad's name was Joe. No one would ever compare to Joe, that he was her person, period. And so she never moved, on in a relationship.
Yeah, and I would say John and I felt a very soul connection, and we talked about it. We were very open about it from our entire marriage, and even with our
Right.
children. And I would say that being a mother of four children and having been ha I had a nine miscarriages before our first
Oh
child,
my gosh.
two miscarriages between my first and my second, and being a mom of four kids, I would say What I've learned in that process is I have an immense capacity for love.
Right.
And I have so much love to share. And I
Right.
share it with every person in my life. And why wouldn't I want to share that with somebody else for the rest
Right.
of my life?
Well, we wish our mom would have because she was young. I mean, she, like I said, she could have had a whole nother relationship, and I feel like she missed out for herself too. So
Well,
I think it's great when people can have another relationship. And I feel like the person that's passed would want you to.
So again, that kind of goes back to judgment. Let me just
It
challenge
does.
you
It
for a
does.
minute,
Yes, it does.
right? And I would say I, again, have been in a lot of Facebook support groups for widowers, and people
Right.
will say, he told me he never wanted me to marry anyone else. He told me this. He told me that. I feel this. I feel that. Sometimes we can use those things that we say to ourselves as
Right.
our own stopping blocks, right? Our limiting beliefs, our way
Right.
of choosing to stay safe because one thing one person, a spouse, a widow, a widower knows greater than anyone, my ability to love
Right.
will be met one day with loss.
Right.
Every partnership will end, and it
Right.
will eventually end, if not in divorce or
Right.
not in not in choosing disconnection, it will end with someone's death.
Right. And
That is
that's
kind of
vulnerable.
sobering.
It's
We never talk about
vulnerable.
it.
Yeah, it's vulnerable. It's raw.
It is vulnerable. It takes a lot of courage to say, I am willing to risk my heart at the greatest of all depths to again be able to love somebody.
That's a good point. That's very true. Well, thank you for sharing your beautiful, inspiring story and helping our listeners that are going through similar things. And you mentioned your podcast. How can our listeners find your podcast? And I'll put a link also up with this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the link is going to change a little bit or not because I'm going through a transition right now from a broadcast house to self-producing. But it will be wherever you listen to podcasts. So Google Play, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, it is relentlesslyresilient.com.
Okay, thank
And I
you.
am a life coach and I'm
Okay.
working on putting together a course in grief. I am doing one-on-one coaching right now. And
Okay.
eventually, I would like to build a support network group that will be for my coaching clients that are working through their process of grief. So I'm working on that now. I just
Well,
hope I don't feel
keep
like
me
I have
posted and I'll add
to.
that to the
Yeah.
segment and thank you for giving back. And that sounds exciting, the life coaching, and it's so needed because so many people are going through so much loss. It seems like there's so many souls leaving at younger and younger ages
Yeah.
at this time.
I will say I stumbled onto a Facebook post today and this person did not follow up, but it had hundreds of responses when it says something to the fact to the effect of grief is the Grinch. You're not the Grinch. Grief is the Grinch that stole Christmas. And people started posting their grief stories.
Oh my gosh.
And the amount of stories that are on there, and the person never went back to acknowledge them, which I
That's
feel
too
very sad
bad.
for. This
Yeah.
is a great opportunity for this person who is also a grief coach. But
Right.
I responded to a couple of them, and I'm like, oh, wow. Like sometimes we get caught up in the hot, and let me tell you, I'm 6 years out, and I have
Right.
really worked hard. I have done
Right.
deep diving, therapy, and life coaching, and all the things. Sometimes it's really hard to think, I'm doing pretty good right now. I don't really want to think of everyone who's dealing with that painful grief that I used to carry with me at this time of the holiday that I thought was so unbearable that I couldn't
Right.
even think about having to face that day.
Right.
And I was reminded today. So I have a lot of compassion for those that are listening. My heart just sends out so much love. There are so many people suffering with loss, all different types of loss. Children, suicide,
Oh, I
cancer,
agree.
car
Yeah.
accidents. I mean, just the list is endless. We live in a mortal world full of challenges, and my heart goes out to all of those who are trying to get through the holidays with
Right.
loss.
And I know in our family, we share like funny stories of the people that have passed. I lost my brother to sudden death on a business trip when he was 49. My dad died at 55, and then my mom passed when I was 30. So we've had a lot of loss also. And every loss is different, but sharing stories at the dinner table and funny stories about the person and how they enriched your life
Yeah.
kind of brings the joy
I have
back.
to say, my funnest thing to do is have my husband's best friend come over because he will tell the stories about my husband being kind of dumb or the silly things he said or did. And we get to laugh at his expense. But what I love about that is it makes him truly real. He wasn't a saint. He wasn't perfect. He was just a guy, you know?
Well,
But,
thanks for sharing that.
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Healing Soul. And I always pick an intuitive heart oracle card. And
Oh.
today, yeah, so
Oh, I love
I,
that.
yeah, they're mine. I took pictures in Sedona and meditated on different things that came to me with the vibe of the picture. And I haven't printed them yet, but I'm going to. But today's I chose is keep your faith. When things are not going as you planned, keep your faith. God has great things in your future, and better days are coming. Keep your faith. And I just want to thank you for being on the podcast, Michelle. I really appreciate your true, heartfelt stories that will help people listening. And I want to thank all of our listeners. And know that you're never alone. Reach out to a therapist or get in a meetup group. And know that God
Or
loves
if you are
you.
really struggling, there's 988, the suicide
988 for
hotline.
suicide hotline.
And if you really just need to talk to someone, Safe Utah app, the Safe Utah app,
And I
safeutah.com.
think 988 is across the nation too.
Yeah, it
Because
is.
there's,
It's
yeah, because
nationwide.
there's, yeah, it's nationwide. So just realize that, you know, in your darkest hour, you are never alone. Reach out through 988, go to a therapist or get help. But just knowing that if you reach for help, it shows your strength. It
Yeah.
really does. And know that God loves you, and so do I. The Healing Soul, empowering wellness and oneness. Thank you.